Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Hospital Performance Improvement Public Reporting Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will follow at that time. If anyone should require assistance during the conference, please press star then zero on your touch-tone telephone. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, this conference call is being recorded. I would now like to introduce your host for today's conference, Ms. Marguerite Shaffer. Ms. Shaffer, you may begin.
Thank you very much, and good morning, everyone. I'm happy to realize that so many of you decided to call in. I think this will be a very informative, and I think it's a very important conference call that Karen O'Leary is really going to share with you today. We're going to be covering, or she's going to be covering, commonly seen errors in validation, and also talk about the appeal process. This information came from CMS, and we thought it was very important, as all of you are struggling, you know, with data abstraction and reporting issues, to share this information with you. We are going to have a question and answer session after Karen's presentation, so I would strongly encourage you to please ask any questions that you have. If we cannot answer them today on the call, we'll get the information for you. I just want to take a moment to remind you also that if you have not downloaded the slides, there are many of them, you can go to jenny.ipro.org, and they're under the Hospital Public Reporting area on Jenny. Also, you will find an evaluation which we would strongly encourage you to complete and to fax back to us after the call. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Karen. Thanks.
Thanks, Peggy. Good morning and welcome, everyone. We are pleased that Bev Bowers, the supervisor, the validation supervisor at the CDAC, has shared with us the most common mismatched data elements in validation and other areas hospitals have difficulty with in the appeal process. Now, I know that some of you in your hospitals may be further along with abstraction, but keep in mind, since CDAC has just finished quarter four of 2005, and is now abstracting quarter one of 2006, this is the time frame content that this call is referring to. For today's call, I am providing you with one or two examples from each clinical topic that CDAC sees as common mismatches. Being as generic as possible, I wanted to identify the key reasons why these elements are being missed. For the heart failure module, the two elements that the training department at CDAC finds troublesome, of course, you probably all know, are the LVSD and discharge instructions address medications. For LVSD, the definition is a left ventricular ejection fraction documented as an ejection fraction less than 40% or a narrative description consistent with moderate or severe systolic dysfunction. Please be sure to refer to the Appendix H for the LVS notes table in the specs manual for more information. When there are two or more documented LVF numeric or narrative results, abstract the LVF closest to discharge. Many times on appeal, the CDAC sees, for example, that an EF was 30%. However, that was from an echo done the first day the patient was in the hospital. Then an echo was performed prior to discharge and documented as 40%. Since this one is closest to discharge, you would use the 40% and answer no to LVSD. Again, if it is closest to hospital arrival, if only pre-arrival, LVS results are documented. If unable to determine which LVF is closest to discharge, abstract yes if any of the results are less than 40%. If there is conflicting documentation in reference to the same test, you would want to abstract yes. And this often happens. Several people call with questions regarding this. I know the CDAC has raised a flag in order to put these in these slides as well. If the EF is documented as a range, you would use the midpoint and consider this an estimated value. An example is if an LVEF is 35 to 45%, you would use 40% as the midpoint. Next slide. If the severity of the systolic dysfunction is not specified, and this is the only documentation you have, assume that it is moderate or severe. If a systolic dysfunction is documented but without a numeric value, like 45%, you would answer no to LVSD. And again, look at all the acceptable sources for conflicting documentation within the chart. Okay, the next common error the majority of the time is discharge instructions address medication. This data element nationally, hospitals have great difficulty with. The definition in the manual is, written discharge instructions or other documentation of written material given to the patient or caregiver addressing the names of all discharge medications. We can't stress enough, according to the guidelines, that you include all the medications. Since abstraction for this data element is unique and is a two-step process, make sure the discharge summary, discharge orders, or anything related to the discharge medications are documented so you can formulate a complete list. Then compare this list on the instructions given to the patient that he or she is going home with. This will ensure that they are getting all the medications that were intended for them upon discharge. If a list of discharge meds is not documented elsewhere in the record, and the completeness of the medication list is not, the written discharge instructions cannot be confirmed, abstract no, and this is new. Exception, if the written discharge written discharge instructions given to the patient have been completed or signed by an MD, PA, or nurse practitioner, presume the list of discharge meds in those instructions is complete. So in other words, if there is no other list, original list in the chart, and the only thing you have is a carbon copy or another copy in the chart of the actual discharge instruction sheet given to the patient, and that is signed, then that is acceptable. So that's a big exception there. I know a lot of hospitals are leaning toward just getting the physician's signature on something and thinking they're good to go, but they're only good to go if that's the only list of discharge meds in the chart. Okay, the next slide. Really the most frequently missed areas within answering this element also is when the MD writes continue home meds CMAR. This is an exclusion and not sufficient. In order to fulfill this data element, they must be listed out by name. Also, when the patient is given only written prescriptions upon discharge, this does not satisfy the element. Okay, we're moving on to myocardial infarction. The data elements mostly missed are initial ECG interpretation and all of the data elements surrounding contraindications. For the initial ECG interpretation, the definition is an ST segment elevation or a left bundle branch block based on the documentation of the ECG performed closest to hospital arrival. The keywords here are closest to hospital arrival. Would use the 12-lead ECG performed closest to the time of the hospital arrival, whether it was done prior to arrival or after arrival. An example of this would be a 12-lead ECG done in the ambulance 10 minutes before hospital arrival, and then a second one performed in the ED 30 minutes after arrival. You would use the ECG done in the ambulance. And the second in the second bullet, if there is no interpretation available from the ECG performed closer to arrival, you would abstract no. Again, the interpretation must be signed by a physician, nurse practitioner, or a PA. And also, name or initials that are stamped or typed on the interpretation are acceptable here. If there is conflicting documentation between the inclusion and exclusion terms for an ECG interpretation, you should answer no. The next data element refers to all the contraindication questions or data elements. The definition reads, documentation of a reason for not prescribing a medication. CDAC knows that these elements have caused a lot of confusion in the past. We've gotten many questions about this data element. Examples that should be captured as contraindications are no aspirin, no beta blockers, no ACE inhibitors, no ARBs. Contraindication should not be considered for discontinuation of one med for another or substitution, and not for a change in dose or route of a medication. These are not considered contraindications. Of course, you should know crossouts are considered contraindications, and if a med is documented on a standing order and is crossed out, this is a clearly implied contraindication. It's very important. Okay, the next biggest mistake hospitals make are assuming that if a patient received a medication, that there is no contraindication. That's a big one we've seen a lot. So remember, to answer these two data elements, whether a patient received a medication and whether there is a contraindication, separately, use these guidelines to determine if there was a contraindication according to CMS's world. An example would be if you prescribed or gave aspirin, there may also be a potential contraindication or a reason for not prescribing per the guidelines. This doesn't mean clinically that you shouldn't have given it, but rather that there may be parameters to this data element that define a contraindication per the CMS specs manual or the guidelines. Okay. Now we're moving on to pneumonia. The CDAC really only pointed out one data element that causes a lot of angst to people, and that is initial blood culture collection time. As you know, the definition is the time that the initial blood culture was collected or drawn after hospital arrival. The time must be labeled or specified as collected, obtained, drawn, or taken. Do not take time from the lab reports if they are unspecified or labeled as anything other than the previous inclusions that I just mentioned on the last slide. Lab sheets are not a priority ordered source. The time can be found in the ER record, progress notes, or the nursing notes. If the qualifiers you have documented, other than collected, drawn, or obtained, are listed, your hospital should insert a memo. If those are the words that are not qualifying the time, you should insert a memo or a policy stating that these times are the actual blood culture collection times, the wording that you're using. You will need to clarify that your hospital sees the collection time as it is noted in your charts. If you use an electronic medical record and the recording is another term other than collected, drawn, or obtained, this should be noted. If you are taking the time from the ED documentation, make sure it is labeled as such. This is a really big one. People automatically go to the lab sheets. Number one, that's not the only place you can find the time, and they are often not labeled as collected, drawn, or obtained. There is just a time noted there. So CDAC does suggest for the five records that you send in to them for validation purposes, if you are using another qualifying as received, given, administered, that you include a policy or a statement sheet indicating that that's what your hospital associates with collected, drawn, or obtained. I'm not saying go crazy and put them in all of your charts. Just put them in the five charts that you're sending to CDAC just to cover yourself, especially if you use electronic medical records. When we go out to do on-sites, we're seeing a lot of that, throughout all of our hospitals. It may just not be one hospital doing that. And sometimes you don't have control over the words that are given by the software that's producing your paperwork. Okay, again, CDAC sees that hospitals often are not looking at the earliest collection time. And if the blood cultures most likely are drawn in two sets, be sure to take the time from the first set. Okay, the last topic. Since many, if not all, hospitals are now abstracting skip data, the two elements CDAC is concerned about are surgery end time and infection prior to anesthesia. So the definition for surgery end time for the procedure of interest is the time the incision was closed. This data element is unique in that there is a priority order of sources for answering this and is often missed. For surgery end time, you would first look at the anesthesia record for the surgery end time, like I just said, and any other terms in the inclusion list on this and the following two pages. There's many of them. You can go to slides 34 and 35 after the inclusion list terms. The anesthesia record is considered the highest priority source. If you're unable to find one of these terms documented in the highest source, only then do you move to the next source. And that is explained on 34 and 35. I'm now on slide 36. Kind of going quick, but I want to have time for questions and answers. Okay. Again, hospitals should use the earliest documented end time from the inclusion list of terms. Remember, if you only have one list of end time inclusions to look for, but you have five sources that must be searched in priority order, and that is a big one. If you're finding the end time not listed at all in any of the inclusion terms on the anesthesia record, I do believe the next is the operating record, circulating record,
circulation record.
So then you would look there. If it is not there in any of the inclusion times, then you go to the nursing notes and then the operative reports. It's just a listing that you should take from start to finish. Most often you will find it in the anesthesia record, though. Okay, the next element within SCIP is infection prior to anesthesia. And to review the definition, it is documentation that the patient was being treated for an infection prior to the first surgical procedure of interest. Documentation must include a correlation between the treatment and the infection. If documentation of an infection is recent and the antibiotic is being continued through the hospital stay, you should abstract yes to infection prior to anesthesia. How you answer this data element is very important because it affects all of the elements following. So this is similar to working diagnosis in the former quarters. It's a parent-child question or data element. So you could potentially lose this chart and score zero if you do not answer this question correctly, as well as the CDAC matching you. Okay, and that actually concludes the part that Bev shared with us in New York about the highest hitting areas for mismatches. And I'll just want to go over a couple other things. In the last section, CDAC wanted to share with us the additional areas of invalid record selection and suggested data sources. The invalid record selection, this mismatch is basically assigned when the following situations occur, and bear with me because I'm just going to read through these. It's quite important for you to know. If hospital sends CDAC charts that are, number one, the wrong patient, the date of birth on the cover sheet does not match the record received at CDAC. Pediatric cases also sometimes get entered into the warehouse, and they are automatically considered invalid if received by the CDAC. So it's important to have the right patient sent for all five charts. Also, the wrong dates of stay are also sent, where a provider submits a different admission than what was requested on this cover sheet. Often, a lot of times, this happens due to poor documentation, or if you're using a copying service, the copying service is copying the last episode of care where that patient was at your hospital, not necessarily the episode of care that is being requested by CDAC. So that's sort of very important to know. Also, what makes an invalid record selection is the wrong admission or discharge dates. Dates on the cover sheet include the acute care admission plus a swing bed admission. This happens often, and the example shows the cover sheet has a discharge date of 7/10, but the documentation in the record states the patient was discharged from acute care on 7/05 and was discharged from a swing bed on 7/10. So the only cases that should be submitted to the warehouse are acute care admissions. So if the chart encompasses acute and swing, this is the wrong admission type. Lastly, it would be the wrong type of admission, like I had just said. Stay is not acute care admission. The following are all examples of that: an ER visit only, 23-hour observation only, a swing bed admission, or a rehab stay. If any of these situations occur, CMS will score a zero for that case. And just to let you know, according to Bev, in the last fourth quarter of 2005, CDAC has canceled out over 100 records and scored them as 0% for those cases nationally. So that's huge. I know in New York we had about seven hospitals not pass due to invalid record selection, where one or more of their charts were scored as a zero simply because the cover sheet did not match the chart that it was sent in with. Okay, again, information on the green sheets must match the documentation in the record. The green sheets are really used as an identifying factor to keep the records separate when they are received by CDAC. And many of you know the records are received, and they are separated at CDAC at the warehouse by clinical topic. Also, again, if you're using a copying service, make sure they send the green cover sheet with the chart, not a white copy. And lastly, I wanted to talk a little bit about suggested data sources. What are they? And they are basically a list of recommended sources there to serve as a guideline only. So in the chart, when they list out the areas you can find the answer to your data abstraction question, these are only suggested sources. You can use other sources within the chart. The abstractor is not limited to the sources unless the data element specifically restricts what sources may be used to gain the information. Similar to the using the MAR for discharge instructions addressing medications, that's an exclusion. You should not be looking there for your information to answer the question. The sources that are listed in alphabetical order, not priority order, unless otherwise specified, like the surgery end time. And you would abstract information from other sources if it more accurately answers the data element. So just know that. If you do find the answer somewhere else and you feel that is the source of the true answer, you can use that other source. Also, the sources are listed by their commonly used titles. Many hospitals do use different names for different forms, and that is acceptable by CDAC, and we will support your appeal if that should happen to you. I do want to note that more information on the suggested data sources are available in the data dictionary section. It's a main section in the specs manual, and I would encourage everybody to pass it along and share that with all your people that do abstraction, because there's a lot of information in there about qualifiers and quantifiers, and it's a section often overlooked, and it's good for information to help with true data abstraction. And that sort of concludes the call for the information on this call for the areas that CDAC wants the QIOs to relay to their hospitals. And now I'd like to open it up for questions. Pam? Pam, are you there?
Yes. Hello?
Yes.
You want to open lines for questions now?
Yes. Please.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question at this time, please press the 1 key on your touch-tone telephone. If your question has been answered or wish to remove yourself from the queue, please press the pound key. One moment for questions.
I have a question. I just want to clarify that for the LVF assessment, you can use a numeric value or a narrative result closest to discharge if there are two that are done, one prior to admission and then one during the admission, or two during the admission, let's say, for whatever the reason. So you would choose the one closest to discharge. But if it's done prior to admission, then it would be the one closest to admission?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I realize this was a review for a lot of you, but it was a good feel or get a pulse on what CDAC is seeing nationally and forwarded to us as the data elements that we know in New York everybody has been struggling with. any questions? Or
our first question comes from Renee Cutway from Narcy Hospital. Your line is open.
Go ahead, Renee.
I have a question on the surgery end time again.
Okay.
The priority order source is the anesthesia record.
Right.
Our anesthesia record, the end time is not usually very accurate. It gives time of when they are actually leaving the OR going to recovery, whereas our intra-op report seems to be more accurate. Do we still need to use the anesthesia record?
When you mean, is there a term that's used for it? How are you determining that it's not accurate?
Because the time usually documented, they have the time that the surgery lasted on the anesthesia record.
Right.
They actually say end time. They just have the amount of time started and ended. The time almost always that they document the end time is about the time when they're going into recovery, whereas the intra-op record is usually a few minutes earlier than that.
Yeah, it's more accurate, I know. I know that when we've gone out to hospitals and we've been looking at anesthesia records, they very appropriately document the start time of surgery. The end time usually does not necessarily match, there's usually sometimes in many hospitals there are other operative reports or nurses that document, or there's another form that a lot of the hospitals use, and it's more appropriately documented. The problem there is if on your anesthesia record it says end time.
It doesn't.
It doesn't.
No.
Okay. So if.
A time range.
Pardon me?
It just gives a time range.
Yeah. Then you could go to your next place where it's more accurately documented and take that. As long as your anesthesia record does not specifically say end time.
Oh, okay.
Which many of them don't.
Right.
And we're encouraging the hospitals to, since CDAC is really looking specifically for that information on the anesthesia record, when you do maybe revamp them in any way, take that into consideration to have that added to the anesthesia record and ask your anesthesiologist or the circulating nurses, whoever, to document that clearly on the anesthesia record, because I know it's not incorporated on a lot of anesthesia records.
That's right. Okay. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Lori Baker from Brookdale Hospital. Your line is open.
Hi, I have two questions. One about the discharge instructions listing the medications.
Uh-huh.
We've gotten a couple of non-validations because although in the discharge instructions, the medications are listed, it's signed by the physician and it's signed by the patient. They invalidated it because they said they couldn't find anything else in the record to corroborate it, even though those medications were on the MAR because the patient was receiving them in the hospital. Was that an incorrect? I mean, we didn't appeal it because
Lori, that's a very specific question in regard to a specific chart or maybe a couple of charts. So we'd actually have to, you know, take a look at the medical record to see why that decision was made.
But if the medications are listed and signed by the physician and signed by the patient, is that considered, according to the standards in your interpretation, a complete list?
If there is no other list in the chart.
Right.
Okay. There is no other list.
Then that probably would have been acceptable, and they may have missed it at that time.
But we'd have to look at the specific record.
Okay. It's happened a few times, and it did happen when we appealed, and our appeal was accepted. But it just seems that I was wondering if it was a pattern of interpretation that was not consistent.
I wouldn't think so. And if that should happen on a particular case, please feel free to send it in, because we will review it.
We can send it in to you for review, even though we're not officially appealing it to. I understood that we couldn't submit appeal questions unless we fail the validation. Is that correct?
We can't submit a formal appeal, but we will alert CDAC to that.
You know, if that happens and you've passed validation. And you want to bring it to our attention,
yes.
We could share that information with CDAC. We'd be more than happy to do that, but we would have to look at the specific case and validate what you're saying before we share the information.
Okay, thank you. The second question wasn't discussed today, but it's about the administrative data element of admission source and whether the patient comes from a nursing home or not. Now, many of the hospitals in the metropolitan area, ours is one of them, almost all our admissions come in through the emergency department unless they're same-day, surgery admission.
Right.
Especially nursing home admission.
Uh-huh.
We, after much, work, changed the data element, the Sparks data element, which is, I guess, the same one that's used in the administrative data that's abstracted, so that if the patient came from a nursing home, it was reflected as a nursing home admission versus an emergency admission. Now, I understand that is not how CDAC is interpreting the admission source.
They're going through the ER. It's an ER admission.
Yeah. I think, that is something that needs to be addressed in view of the fact that the nursing home patient is one of the risk factors in the risk adjustment of a lot of the risk adjustment formulas. And
that's something that everybody deals with across the country.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I think, I don't know what vehicle there is to address that as an overall consideration to make that.
Lori, that's something that we really, really don't have any control over. That's the way CDAC looks at it. That's the way CMS looks at it. They go through the ER no matter where they come from. They're an ER admission.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Our next question comes from Mary Ann Bogla from South Community Hospital. Your line is open.
Thank you. It's Mary Kramer with Mary Ann Bogla. Mary Ellen. I have a question concerning the contraindications of things on arrival. The data dictionary indicates you need to put these contraindications if it occurs up to 24 hours after the admission. Now, for instance, with aspirin, they may have gotten the aspirin immediately and didn't start to bleed until 20 hours later. But if you fill in the contraindication, it will not take the aspirin as being given. The same thing goes with heart block or heart failure and the beta blockers on the MI.
That, unfortunately, is just the way that algorithm works.
And you just don't get, it doesn't get included in the measure.
Right.
Well, they're that's a problem when you have fairly small denominators.
Right, right, I know.
They're
aware of that, and, whether or not they'll make a modification to that going forward, I don't know.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Corrine Geller from New York Westchester Square Medical Center. Your line is open.
Hi, thank you. I know you said that this call was referencing, last year's time period, but in reference to LVSD, you kind of skipped over it, whereas if there was conflicting documentation between a numeric value and a narrative description in reference to the same test, abstract yes. I just wanted to point out that there was a clarification in July that was changed.
Yes. That is true.
Okay, so I just wanted to bring it up because it's still on this and it can be a little misleading.
Right. Yeah, thank you very much. You're right.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from Nelba Talon from Jamaica Hospital. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning, Karen. And maybe Peggy.
Yeah, you got to go in the old way to see what she did wrong on the CRS.
Hello?
Yes.
Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Okay. On the left ventricular systolic dysfunction question, this is for the prior year, correct?
Yeah.
If the dysfunction was specified as mild and the value was 45%, but then another physician has documented it as mild to moderate. Well, how would you abstract that?
I believe it has to be moderate to severe.
That's correct. We get gig on that, but that's the thing that I was that I have appealed. I had submitted an appeal because it was specified as mild, and the value was 45%.
Right.
There was no echo done during the admission, but the one done closest to the admission had a value of 45%.
Okay.
And it was documented there as mild.
Uh-huh.
So that, I guess it's clearly stated that it has to be moderate to severe, moderate or severe.
Yeah.
So then I guess that's fine with us. My second question is on the discharge.
And, going forward, I believe they're going to take the numeric value.
That's correct.
Because of these issues.
Right.
They've realized that it's better if you've got both,
uh-huh,
they're going to go with the numeric value.
Okay.
Because you can have conflicting documentation inadvertently by a couple of physicians that look at this information.
That's so true.
One might, just inadvertently document mild, and then the next guy will come along and say, no, it's moderate to severe.
That's true.
So rather than, take the chance that the error is happening and the hospital is being dinged inappropriately,
right,
they're going to look at the numeric value if it is documented first.
Okay.
If that is not there, then you will move on to the narrative.
Right. Now, my second question is on the discharge meds. With the prior quarters, I believe it's a two-step process. Am I correct to say then that starting with the January discharges, if the discharge instruction is completed by a physician, that it doesn't have to be a two-step process?
No, you're incorrect. It's still a two-step process where you're evaluating all the medications in the chart, then comparing it to the list that the patient goes home with.
Right.
Oh, so it still is a two-step process.
But there is an exception to that.
Okay.
If the discharge instruction sheet going home with the patient is signed by a physician and there is no other documentation of the meds in the chart, then you can take that list.
Mm. Okay, because our discharge instruction is completed by a physician. That's the sheet that's being given to a patient.
Right.
A copy is kept on our chart.
Right.
So that, there might be a couple of physicians who would continue to write to list the medication that they intend to give to the patient at discharge. So then what you're saying is that we still, if there is this list, documented in a progress note by a physician, that we still have to do the two-step comparison.
Yeah, you have to validate the discharge medications that the patient is going home on against the medications that are in the medical record that the patient has been receiving.
Like a reconciliation of that.
It's a reconciliation of the medications prior to discharge.
Right. Well, okay. I guess that's then if we do have a form that is the medication reconciliation form, can we use that then? Because that is the purpose is truly similar,
yes.
That at discharge you are reconciling the medication that you would want the patient to continue on after discharge.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
And if that document is in the chart now, but we believe that's okay.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Right, bye-bye.
Our next question comes from Yanni Murphy from St. Agnes IT. Your line is open.
Oh, I thought this was talking about, you know, the new guideline, abstraction guideline, because, hello?
Yeah.
Yes, because I saw infection prior to anesthesia. Just want to make it clear that the new guideline says that infection doesn't have to be connected or related to treatment, right?
This is only from this time frame, the fourth quarter, because this is the last quarter CDAC had abstracted.
Oh,
and
okay.
I do not have the current guideline in front of me. I only have this slide set with my notes. So,
right, the current guideline, they changed the,
mm-hmm.
the definition of that.
Yeah, and I guess a good word to everybody is to note going forward, the specs manual will only change twice a year, not
right.
every
year.
Quarter.
Right.
So it will be a little bit easier for all of us to keep up with the changes.
Wow. Tell me about it. Right. Thank you.
Okay.
Our next question comes from Bonnie Bigelow from Elizabethtown Hospital. Your line is open.
Thank you. I have a question on the initial time for blood culture collection. We have the ER record where the nurse will document the time, the R lab that documents the time of collection, and another lab that documents a time of collection, and they don't match. And sometimes the lab collection time is less than the nurse note.
Earlier,
and I'm wondering which one we should use.
You use the earliest one or the very first set. That
okay. What about the reference lab that it goes out? I haven't been using that one because I felt our lab would be more accurate than one that was sent out.
That would be correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Elizabeth Kohler from Winnether Hospital. Your line is open.
Yes, hi. Infection prior to anesthesia, I just wanted to make sure I understood what you said. If we answered that as a yes and the CDAC felt it was answered as no, I mean, if we answered that yes, all the other data elements would gray out and we wouldn't answer them. But if the CDAC answered that as no and they went on, we would be dinged for every question thereafter that we didn't answer. Is that correct?
That is correct. You won't, yeah. And it's similar. It's a parent-child where you answer one. How you answer one question affects all of the others. You may not see red mismatches all through your case detail following, but it is clear that either you guys or the CDAC was not able to answer the other questions. It's unfortunate, and that's just how the algorithm has been built.
So instead of missing one data element that it would affect your overall score, it would be quite a number of data elements, and that can have a significant impact on your overall validation.
That's true.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not uncommon. However, many hospitals, either have been abstracting skip or just now beginning to seeing how the abstraction is so important. It can throw out your whole chart. And some hospitals are getting requested 5 skip charts out of their 5 records. So if you do have any questions about that when you're abstracting, please do call myself or Denise Faulkner-Cameron, who heads up our skip initiative here, to help you kind of figure out how to answer that question the best that you can if we can assist you.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay.
Our next question comes from Joanne Lunt from Bassett Healthcare. Your line is open.
Yes, thank you. I have a ejection fraction question for a heart failure patient.
Okay, I can try.
Oftentimes, the echo is not done until near the end of the inpatient stay, and the physician in his discharge summary will document that the results are unknown at time of discharge. However, since we do not do concurrent abstraction, when I do abstract the file, I do find the ejection fraction to be below 40%. Do you have any suggestions what needs to be done?
Well, when you're doing the abstraction after the fact, when you know that record is complete, is that one that was below 40?
Yes.
At hospital, you know, closer to hospital arrival?
Hospital discharge.
Oh. So is there no other no other ejection fraction captured at all?
No. I have read recently you have to abstract what the echo says because it is now in the chart. And the physician, if he does not know it, he will document. And if he does document, the chart will be excluded, that the results are not known. And once the results are known, they will take it from there. Is that correct?
I have not heard that.
Okay.
But I can look into that and get back to you.
Okay.
That's, like, extremely important to know and to share if that is, in fact, the case.
Okay.
It's Joanne, right?
Yes.
It's Carol Johnson.
Okay, Carol.
Thank you.
Okay.
Our next question comes from Mary Cordine from Benediction Hospital.
I actually have two questions. One related to the contraindications for medications on admission. We have standing orders, and often our physicians sometimes will just cross out the medications and, you know, miss several of the orders. So did I understand that to be acceptable as a contraindication if it's crossed off?
Yes.
Even if they may have crossed off 10 of the standing orders, that can be considered a contraindication.
That's how CDEC will see it. If your volume is that high, though, you need to kick that up to see if that's truly what you want to put on that form. If they're not being used.
Well, it's not. We just have a physician or two that might do that.
CDEC is going to take that as a clearly implied contraindication because it is on a standing order form.
Okay.
Sorry to say.
Okay, that's great. Another question I had related to the blood culture time.
Mm-hmm.
We have our lab report, you know, the computerized report, which shows collected, you know, and then received.
Right.
Although that collected time actually is not really the collected time, we might see conflicting information in the ED record. For instance, in the nurse's notes, a blood culture is sent. And then I see that sent time is an exclusion here in the presentation. So which would I use in that case? You know, I often see blood culture sent, you know, 10 o'clock in their nurse's notes. You know, lab sent, culture sent. So would I then take that collected time off the lab report?
I would. I would take the collected time from there.
Because I think actually that's our time that they put the order into the computer.
Well, only you know that, though. But they are going to pick up on the word collected, regardless of whether it's in the lab report or the ER record or the progress notes. They're looking for that in particular.
Because another thing the nurses might do, we have standing ED orders of which blood cultures are one, and they may just initial it and time it right next to the order. But if they're not actually saying, and that conflicts then with the collected time on the lab report.
Right. They need to be qualified as those three terms. If it's just signed and dated, they don't know that. That's what they're looking for.
Okay. Okay. And then the other, we still had a question on the discharge medications.
Mm-hmm.
Just to further clarify that, if we have our discharge instructions and the physician has written out and signed, you know, a list of 10 medications, and then we look at our MAR and maybe, let's say, two of the medications are not included, and you're talking about this two-step process, are you saying that that's not good enough?
The MAR should not be used as a source to find that other list.
Okay, so we have our list of let's say, 10 medications, and it's signed by the physician on the instructions.
Right.
But that's then not documented elsewhere in the record. I guess I'm not sure what else we need to look for.
Right. You'd look at the discharge summary, the last progress note. Those two would be the big places to look. And if you do not have a list on those sources and the physician signed the instruction sheets the patient's going home with, then that is good to say yes.
That's good to say yes. Okay. Good.
I mean, if there's no other listing, you know what I'm saying, other than the MAR, because every chart has the MAR.
Right. Okay. That's good enough. Thank you.
Okay.
Our next question comes from Michelle Hovrich from Special Surgery. Your line is open.
Hi, yes. I'm calling. I know the question was previously answered, but it sounded like there was different information than I received before regarding the surgery end time. If the priority source is the anesthesia record, and yet the anesthesia record contains no end time, but contains a care transfer time, and the second source is the intra-op record, which has an anesthesia end time and a surgery end time, I've been told that we should be using the care transfer time. Is that incorrect?
I'm just looking at my sheet here. Hang on one second. Like the discharge to the PACU, are you saying?
That's correct. The priority source doesn't have an anesthesia end time or doesn't have an anesthesia end time. So the secondary source would be, so on the priority source, we have a discharge to the PACU.
Yeah, that you can use. Peggy was in the room. She didn't have her sheet in front of her. Yes, you can use the discharge to PACU.
And even if the discharge to PACU is a later time than the secondary source of the intra-op record, which has the anesthesia end time.
That's correct, because they're actually looking to standardize this data element. They don't want people looking all over in their chart for this one time. That's why they put the priority order of sources, so everybody is looking at the anesthesia record for any of the inclusion terms. So you're correct.
All right. Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Leah Katz from NY Pedestrian Hospital. Your line is open.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Actually, I have three questions for pneumonia blood cultures. If he or she documented the blood culture second test was only sent, should we answer this question yes or no?
Okay, Leah, I couldn't hear your question.
Karen?
Yeah.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yep.
Okay. If the he or she is documented that the blood culture's only second set was sent, should we answer yes or no on this question?
Is that the only blood culture you have?
Yes.
No.
No. Okay. My second question.
If it is the only time that you have.
Yes.
And does it say collected, drawn, or obtained, or just sent?
No, it's just collection time.
Oh, then you would use that. Yes, that's the only collection time you have. Yes, I'm sorry.
Okay. Sometimes we have documented, like, blood was drawn without specifying that it was a blood culture, was it CBS, was it CHEM7, or anything. Should we consider this as a blood culture as well?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I will have to look at that. I don't believe so, but I will have to look into that.
Okay. The third question is, sometimes we have the received and collection time the same. So it might be some error in the requisition form or something else. How should we answer the question? Should we answer no?
Do you have a collection time?
The collection time and the receiving time in the lab may be the same time.
Well, the data element they're asking for is where they collected what time. So you're going to use that time.
Okay.
Don't worry about the received, because received isn't what they're looking at.
Okay. And for the skip one, then that's going to be my last one. Sometimes we have listed the antibiotics on call. Should we include this antibiotic and just not put the time, or should we not include this antibiotic at all?
What antibiotic was it?
It might be any antibiotic on the anesthesia record, and sometimes they pull antibiotic on call, meaning they trap in the chart but never was given. Should we include this antibiotic?
Not to my knowledge, no.
No. Okay. Karen, and it might be just a basic question. What is the consequences of not passing the validation?
Passing the validation is only one component to you receiving your market basket update. Mm-hmm. So should you not pass validation every quarter or a quarter, does not mean necessarily that you won't get your next year's money.
Okay.
So there's a lot of factors that go into it. You know, you must have met certain criteria.
Mm-hmm.
We can talk offline about it.
Sure.
But it's not just one component. If you do not pass It is not the end of the world. We can work through it, and I can talk to you about it further.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. And Pam?
Yes, I'm here.
Pam, can we just take one more question, and then I think I have to wrap up and say goodbye after that?
Okay, that's fine. One moment, please.
Okay.
Our next question comes from Tina Wells from Orange Regional Medical Center. Your line is open.
Yes. My question is about, you were talking about if you use a copy service.
Yes.
Karen, you said you had to send the green copy. We've never, ever done that. We scan that green copy in with the original chart records, and it's always gone off to the intermediary warehouse that sends the copy out for us, and it's always been accepted.
Okay, yeah. I had just been told this about 2 weeks ago, so I don't know in the last, you know, send of first quarter charts, they may have been inundated with white charts. I don't know.
Okay.
But that was passed along to me as a really big problem. I think mostly because now that we've added Skip into the mix, so many different charts are coming in at one time in addition to the other three clinical topics. I don't know why it was said. I don't know why it was passed on, but if you've had success with it, fine. But they do not really want you to send white copies. It's their only way that they can separate the charts. I mean, you guys, you know.
Well, my main concern is that how would you ever know that you got the right piece of paper to the right chart if you try to, like, overnight express it to the intermediary warehouse? I can't see that they would be matching even up the right record with the right green sheet. You know what I mean?
Well, it's a match. Yes, you're worried about it being a match, but it's also that they need to separate the records that come in.
I mean, that's my concern, though, because if you sent them this piece of paper separately by FedEx overnight, there's no guarantee that they would even make it to the right chart.
Oh, no, I understand.
At least this way, it's scanned in.
I understand that, but I wouldn't send them separately. I mean, if you've had luck with that, then fine. I just know that they don't recommend that you use white covers.
I mean, is that something that people have talked about, asking the warehouse to send it on a piece of green paper? I mean, I don't think they'll do that either.
Well, that's why they send out the FedEx envelope of the original request to you with green cover sheets.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. If you're using an intermediary, that never even reaches them.
I realize that. But this is what I'm passing on. I mean, if you want to use, if you want to suggest that to them, and if it's completely not possible to you, then that's how it is. I mean, it's just a suggestion. I don't know the source of it. I do believe it's because they had a huge inundation of white cover sheets. So if they can eliminate some of them by having a discussion with their QIOs to talk to their hospitals about it, then that's what I've done.
All right. No, I'm just looking for possible.
I don't know how you would do it if you use a copying service. It's just been noted to us that it's caused problems.
Okay. All right. Maybe I'll touch base with the copy service then.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Tina.
Yep. Bye.
Bye. Cam?
The call's back over to you now.
Okay. Well, thanks, everybody, for being on today's call. I so appreciate it. Again, I know you guys are further along in abstraction than this phone call reflected. However, I did just want to, after all this time, give you a little base of how everybody is doing and what elements are giving everybody some trouble. Please email me or call me if you have further questions that I couldn't get to today on the call. And also, I would remind you to please fill out the evaluation form and fax it on over to us. We do change calls based on your feedback. Thanks and have a great day.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for participating in today's conference. This does conclude the conference. You may now disconnect. Everyone have a great day.